This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Raise Your Game with me, Tasha Fusil. If you've been tuning in to our series this month, you'll know that we have Raymond Gabriel with us. Raymond's the Executive Director of People Systems Consultancy and the author of Money Quotient, a book about building financial intelligence for children. His message, though, is that anyone can gain financial intelligence. It's never too early or too late to start learning. And so that's what we'll be focusing on for this final episode of our Building Financial Intelligence series. Welcome back for the last time, Raymond.
Thank you, Tasha. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so, you know, the whole premise of the book is about teaching kids financial intelligence. And you talk about starting children early in business. What are the benefits of doing this?
One of the biggest benefits is giving your child an alternative. You know, I have a feeling that jobs are not going to be easy to come by in the future. And, you know, you don't want your children to be stuck in a system where they have to keep working for people and they think it's the only way to earn money. But you want them to be able to get into business and have that unlimited potential that comes with building a business. You know, you hear of many young people today who are below 30 being billionaires and millionaires because they took the risk. And I think it's got a lot to do with their parents encouraging them to take that risk or to get into it at a young age. So you get an alternative. And the second thing that happens is confidence. There's never enough confidence that you can build in your children. The more confidence you build in them, the more they're willing to try things. They become people who are leaders. They can lead society. They can make a difference. So I think those are two key components that you can look at if you start your children young in business as well.
In the book, you talk about the characteristics of entrepreneurship. And, you know, it's important for kids to understand what you can learn from being an entrepreneur.
Yep.
And you talk about this in your book. So can you give me some examples?
Successful entrepreneurs, we talk about, they have drive. You know, they have ability to push something through. Because in any business, you have to convince people, you have to start, you have to build it from scratch. And that drive can actually get into anything else that they're doing. It can get into their studies, get into their work ethic. It will affect them in a very positive way. So it's good to give them that drive to want to be successful for the right reasons. I also advocate that you should start a business and support a cause as well, you know, not just for yourself. Having a wider worldview, you know, and looking at other people. They also have integrity, you know, because you find that people who start business, they realize that when I give you a promise that I'm going to deliver something, I have to keep my word. And it's good for children and youth to learn that at an early age, you know, that if I make a promise and I've taken money for something, I have to deliver something. So these are good lessons they can pick up. They also are very solutions oriented. They have an ability to troubleshoot because sometimes, you know, customers might throw a curveball at them and they get stuck with something or, you know, they have difficulties, but they start using that side of their brain to overcome those difficulties, to troubleshoot what they can do. So these are amazing things that happen, I think. There are many others that are in the book that you can read, but there's so much of benefits that you can build your child with.
And these are all skills that are going to help you anywhere in life.
Yes.
I mean, communication skills, decision making, just the whole gamut.
That's right. You know, you have a byproduct, you know, when you get them into business, because you can't do business like everybody else. There has to be something special about what you do. And so they pick up this idea that they have to innovate. And you imagine if you have your child innovating in a tremendous way above their peers, above what society is doing, they're definitely going to lead in some area in society as well.
For aspiring entrepreneurs, a daunting aspect is capital, right?
Yep.
Is it possible to start a business with little or no capital at all?
I think you can start with no capital at all. This is something that we believe in. It's one of our core values at People Systems. We've trained about 12,000 entrepreneurs in Malaysia, and we are a social enterprise. So we build, take people from low incomes, and we grow their incomes. Now, out of these 12,000 that we've trained, we've seen some amazing results within 1 or 2 months. We've seen their income go up from between 100 to 400% within 2 to 3 months of our program. That's pretty fast. But all these incomes that have gone up and those success stories were achieved without giving people any capital or loans to start. In fact, some people came to us already in debt because they got a loan earlier and they couldn't repay it and they had to build that business back to pay it off, and they managed to do that as well. So it's loans. Everybody thinks I need huge amounts of capital to start. I think that's not the right mindset. You can start with what you have. You know, start doing a service, start doing some trade, you know, put two people together. You know, just start business and have some fun. You know, don't think about too much about, oh, I need this amount of capital and I need to start, you know, be before I have to have this amount of money before I start, because then you'll never get started and be on your way to that potential. I think it's also important to note that for those people who are working and thinking of doing their own business, start part-time. You know, start a business in the weekends, you know, do it once a week, do it twice a week on your Saturdays and Sundays, do it after work, you know, so you can transition out. You can start moving into having your own wealth and having your own company.
How do you go about teaching this to, you know, a five-year-old, for example? You know, how do you get them to start a business?
I did it with my daughter. She was five.
Right.
I got her to pick an area that she likes. This is very important. Huh? Your business must be your passion. You can't get into a business if you're not passionate about it. And the same applies to kids as well. So if you're working with children, you've got to find out what their passion is. My daughter loves arts and crafts. She likes coloring things, designing things, building things, you know, paper with different things. So we talked about an idea for her, and eventually she picked working on developing handmade cards. So she has to make the cards. Her mom helps her, okay? I'm not artistic at all, so I can't help her at all with that. But so she makes the cards, but she has to sell them herself. We don't sell it for her. So she has to approach people. She has to learn, and we've taught her about profit and loss and cost and where the money should be apportioned to. 50% of what she earns goes towards a cause. She has identified an orphanage that she wants to give the money to. 40% is for her to buy a toy, because they need to have a reward.
Right.
You know, and it's not about telling them that we are putting the money for retirement. Kids don't get that. So get them to go, take them to a supermarket, pick a toy that they want, buy it for them, and then tell them as you sell and as you grow this business, you're contributing money for your own toy. It builds so much of confidence, you know, in them. And you need to break down concepts into easily manageable bites, you know, with children. For example, you can teach a five-year-old profit and loss and different concepts like that, but if you can break it down slowly and take your time to explain it. And I've detailed in my book how you can do that, actually.
Okay. How's your daughter's business going so far?
It's okay. She thinks she's very rich. She keeps telling me that, okay, Dada, I've got another 150 ringgit. Do you want some money? I can lend you for a holiday I can pay for that. I said, thank you very much, you know. And she's excited because every time I go out and I said, okay, I've got to buy some food, you know, do you have your wallet here? Because mine is upstairs. I asked my wife and she said, no, I have my savings there and it's 150 ringgit. You can use that. You can borrow money from me if you want. There's confidence there, and they're not afraid of money.
Right.
Now they know that they can earn it, and their own abilities can contribute towards their future and their growth.
You talk about how you have to make business and, you know, teaching all these principles, you have to make it fun for them.
Yeah.
How do you exactly make things exciting for kids when it's you know, a topic that even adults don't find that exciting?
I think it's in how you communicate it to them. For example, if you look at business as and you're talking to your kids for the first time, you know, we can talk about the money that you're going to make, the toy that you're going to have, and we're going to have some fun doing this. We're going to go and talk to people. I'm going to teach you what to say. I'm going to test you and see whether you can remember, okay? So teach them how to make a pitch, you know, and then work with them and encourage. The main thing is to encourage them even when they fail or they can't remember or they say the wrong thing. It doesn't matter, because as long as they can communicate it. My daughter sometimes when she first started, she said, she calls me Dada. So I said, Dada, I want you to walk with me. I said, yeah, okay, I'll walk behind you, but you have to go and talk to people and do it. I'll be beside you, but you have to do the pitch. I'm not going to sell it for you, okay? So they just need a bit of extra confidence. You can make it fun by, you know, encouraging them, and, you know, when they sell it, they say, you know, let them hold the money and let them keep it with them. Don't take the money from them. Those are things that already make it fun. When they already get to hold money that they've earned, they're using it for something else. When they're making their products or sourcing their products, make it fun, you know. If they make a wrong step and maybe, you know, they didn't like in my daughter's case, maybe the cards didn't come out the way, she's cut it wrongly or whatever. I mean, just encourage it. Just say, hey, good, let's carry on, you know. Let's do the next one. Let's have some more fun, you know. Let's enjoy ourselves doing it. So let them enjoy the whole process from start to finish, not just the sales or the reward. That's the key.
I imagine this could be quite hard to try and do when, say, you know, you're trying to teach an older child, someone who maybe is only being exposed to these sort of ideas at a later age, maybe once they're like 13, 14. How do you deal with that?
I think it's easier the older the kids are. It's more difficult to, you know, for example, profit and loss. An older kid is going to understand it.
Right.
If you ask children to start up a business at 13 or 14 and you haven't done it before, it's good to find out what are they passionate about. Sometimes it's technology. You know, it's they love to Facebook, they love to connect with their friends maybe, or they love to research technology online. Then let them do a business that's connected to their passion. Then you won't have a problem with them starting, you know. And a lot of kids nowadays, they have better IT intelligence than adults.
Sure.
You know, they know things, how things work, they can get things done. I've had teenagers who have set up my television, and they know how to connect your iPad to it, and they know how to do different things. That could be a service that they could charge people to do.
Right.
I'm sure their aunties and uncles won't be able to do that as
sure,
well. You know,
imagine,
so you can start connecting devices. They can advise you on what are the right things to get for your home, automate your home. There's amazing things that kids can do, especially when they are teenagers and they are becoming youth. So there's unlimited potential, actually.
How do you sustain interest for kids, especially if, say, their peers are not doing the same things?
I think the best motivator is giving them that goal, that 40% of their income is to buy something that they want. And for maybe teenagers, it could be that iPad, or it could be something else. So it's a long-term goal. And then you switch that goal to something more tangible as they grow older. I've had children that we have taught who now have put aside money to contribute towards their education, and they go to their parents and tell them, look, my first year fees, I'll pay it. Don't worry.
Wow.
You know, so it's happened. And there are youth that we've trained who have done that. So it's amazing when you empower your kids, and then the first thing is to let them enjoy the fruits of their labor, and then slowly lead them towards why you need this extra cash and how you want to save it, and give them an option. You know, when they finish their degree or when they've done their university or whatever, they can come out, they don't have to work for somebody, can continue their business and carry on being self-employed and employ others as well.
We'll talk about potential business ideas for kids to try when we return. Raymond Gabriel, author of Money Quotient, here on the last episode of our Building Financial Intelligence series here on BFM 89.9. Good morning, this is Raise Your Game. I'm Tasha Fusil, and Raymond Gabriel is with me for the final installment of our Building Financial Intelligence series. We've been discussing the merits of teaching entrepreneurial skills from a young age, along with the basics of financial intelligence. Now, Raymond, what are some business ideas that you think younger children could get on board with?
Yes, there are many things you can do, and I've detailed this quite a lot in my book. For example, if you're looking at 5 to 8 year olds, you can look at art and craft, trading goods, for example. You get rubbers or stationery with different shapes, you know, they buy it in bulk and they resell it to their classmates.
Sure.
You know, you can look at making bracelets, designing beads, you know, necklaces, and making cards, like what my daughter does, making paintings and selling those paintings. So that's for 5 to 8 year olds. Huh? For 9 to 12 year olds, you can look at food businesses, selling snacks. It can be also arts and crafts, but a bit more complex designs and materials. They can also trade goods. They can even write. You know, some kids have written books on poetry at that age as well. So you can start getting them to write songs, you know, write music if they got a talent for that. Find an area which they're passionate about and let
sure.
that area come out. I think for older kids, you can look at IT type businesses. They can look at e-commerce. They can look at, I think it's important to get them exposed to technology, because technology is going to be the language of the future. So don't discourage them, you know. Sometimes you have parents, you know, they are worried and they're frustrated that their kids are online all the time.
Right.
They are socially networking online. Why not harness that energy and make them use it for business and let them be productive, so they see another side of that technology being used for something that can generate wealth, you know?
Okay.
So those are things that you can do. As long as they get into the concept of selling, earning money, doing something, and if they can work with you, it's even better, with you guiding them as a parent.
Okay. For anyone, whether they're an adult or whether they're, you know, 5 years old and starting their handmade card business, what are some keys to business success that you should have in mind?
The first thing is, if you're running a business, you need to be innovative. You can't be following the crowd. For example, if everybody is running a certain business in a certain way, I like to give an example of, you know, a burger stall, for example. If a person is doing a burger stall, sometimes you see other people opening it up next to them and doing the same type of thing. If he uses a certain sauce, they use a certain sauce. So when you do that, you start eating up customers from each other, and you start on a downward spiral. So you need to be innovative. Can you, for example, add a delivery service to that burger? So if people call you deliver it to the home. You know, how can you add value? For me, innovation must add value to different customers. So if you begin to think that way, and this is what we train in our entrepreneurship program in our company as well, how you can innovate and take the business to the next level, so you don't compete with everybody else and follow what everybody else is doing, but you become unique. You know, so you need to be different in that business. The other thing is, you have to target the right type of customers. Mm-hmm. Not every customer is going to be right for you. So even with children, for example, if they come up with their first business, who are they going to sell to? Don't look at immediate family, but look at a category of customers that can actually buy. And we always encourage adults when they're in business to look at scalability. For example, if I'm making cards, okay, now I can keep making and selling it to one person at a time, or I can go to a wedding planner and make cards for an entire wedding. Immediately I get an order for 2,000 cards or 3,000 cards. So how can I scale? In a food business, for example, instead of opening up a stall, can I get my products placed at different restaurants, you know, for them to resell it for me? Then I have a wider ability to increase my wealth and to multiply my income. So think about scalability. That's another key point as well.
You've done a lot of work training entrepreneurs with People Systems Consultancy. What are some of the things that have made the entrepreneurs you train successful?
The first thing is their willingness to follow through with an action. Like when we train them, there are certain things we train in a very practical way. So there's not a lot of theory. Whatever we teach needs to be applied. Those entrepreneurs that become successful apply what they learn. They start doing it straight away. One of the key things that is stopping businesses in Malaysia from growing is the focus on business development or sales. Many people are good at developing products. They even have fantastic products, but they're not good at selling them. And they need to learn how to sell, you know, how to have the confidence to go to larger customers, how to scale up your orders, you know, and not being afraid of going and meeting that customers or getting rejected. And I think that is the key point. Most people don't know how to sell. They know how to make products, but they don't know how to sell. One of the very important things you must do is every week or every day, depending on your schedule and what you're doing running a business, you must be doing an income-generating activity. You must be calling customers, you must be setting appointments, you must be having regular meetings, presentations, because all that translates into income. And if you don't do that enough and you're hoping for people to come to you and buy from you, which is a mindset problem and a big problem in Malaysia, they open up a shop and they wait for people to come in. You don't go out and actively look at getting your customers, you know, and getting the right type of customers. So that's critical, I think, for you to be successful as an entrepreneur.
Okay, so a lot of people encounter failure in business. What are some things, you know, I mean, it doesn't have to be the end of the road for them, but what are their options? What can they do?
I think the first thing you've got to realize about a business failure is look at it as a training ground. Don't look at it as a setback. You know, you've tried a business, you failed at it, you've learned, you've got experience, so your next business can be better. It mustn't stop you from starting your next business. And you need to have friends around you who can encourage you, people around you who sort of tell you that, you know, hey, look, you know, don't worry about this, why don't you look at the next thing? And the next idea might be just waiting around the corner, and that could be something that makes you successful, you know. If you look at more developed economies, and people who look at venture capital investments in those economies, they like people who have failed at their first business because they know they would bring that experience into their second business, and they are less likely to fail because, you know, they are more realistic and they know what to do. So it's a positive thing in some countries. And we need to have that mindset as well. If you fail, okay, fine. All right, that's not for you. Can you now restart? Can you do something? Maybe you failed because you went with the crowd. You started a business which you're not really passionate about. Or your products have got no differentiator from anybody else doing the same thing. So maybe you can now innovate, come up with something which you are passionate about, add some value in it and become different and be successful. So it's a stepping stone, I guess.
And going back to teaching kids about these kinds of principles, I mean, failure is an important thing for them to learn as well.
It's very important. You know, like with my daughter, there were people that, of course, it's cute, you know, a five-year-old coming to you. But I did tell some of the people who are going to buy from her beforehand, don't make it easy for her.
Right.
And just reject and see how she handles it. So it's important that they go through that. And then we use it as a learning tool. I said, okay, so this customer didn't want to buy. So what do you do? He said, no, but why didn't they want to buy? You know, I said, yeah, okay, fine. But you in life, you'll face those kind of things. So just move on to the next one. And then they get stronger. They just say, okay, you don't want to buy, no problem. I'll go to the next person. Okay, fine. You know, if you don't need it. So they get more and more confident. They're able to handle rejection. They're able to handle disappointment. So there's so many lessons you can get from getting your child exposed in business. It's fun.
Raymond, any final words to conclude our series on building financial intelligence?
I would just like to encourage parents, spend time teaching your kids finance, teaching your kids business, use the principles, that we've talked about in the book, because it gives them an edge. Just like parents used to send kids for extra piano lessons and extra tuition, and they become so good in their studies and they work really hard and they get all the straight A's. But you need to emphasize financial education for your kids. You need to spend time with your... It doesn't matter if they're teenagers, or it's never too late. You know, as long as you can start building that financial intelligence, you're going to give them an edge which they need in the future. If you don't do it, then they'll have to go through life making mistakes and learning from that mistakes and then trying to readjust their life. You know, talk about finance at the dinner table, you know, spend time explaining to them what you are doing. The book is written not just for kids, it's for families. So it's for the parents to first model the right financial habits and then teach it to your kids, because you can't teach what you don't practice, you
right,
know?
Right.
So I think that's my final word. Emphasize it and realize the importance of it with your families and give your kids an edge.
Thank you so much, Raymond. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Tasha. Thanks for having me.
Raymond Gabriel, the author of Money Quotient and Executive Director of People Systems Consultancy. This has been Raise Your Game, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.